Well, tonight I want to share something that is very critical to each and every one of you that walk with God. It really makes a huge difference in your life. And the subject I am going to share with you is on the power of words. The power of words. And this really struck me while I was reading Jan Majera's book on Ephesians, Our Spiritual Treasure. And I took it with me on our trip here. And as I was reading through it, this really stood out to me. It was lesson 13, The Power of Words in Relationships. And so I'm going to quote some of these from the book with you and share some scriptures with you as well. But on page 80, Jan says this, words can be edifying. Words can also be like poison arrows that cause death. Did you ever hear the saying, quote, loose lips sink ships, end of quote? Another pithy statement is, quote, the tongue is an unruly evil, end of quote. That is from the book of James. We can move mountains with our words. We can also use words like drawn swords. We can speak words without thought and slander our best friends. But, quote, a soft answer turneth away wrath, end of quote, Proverbs 15:1. Let's take a look at that record in James chapter 3, okay? Chapter 3. We're talking about the power of words. And it's amazing what we say and what we hear sometimes, how much it has to do with our actions and what we do with our actions. Words motivate, words dictate, words can build fear that causes all kinds of negative action, or it could build people up to have positive actions. But let's take a look in James chapter 3, verse 2. We'll start there. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised unto them? You know what? I am in chapter 2, aren't I?
I was going to say, where are you?
Sorry. Let's go to chapter 3. That's going to be an interesting story. You might want to finish that later on. Sorry, we're chapter 3. I knew that didn't sound right. Verse 2, chapter 3, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, wherewith bless we God. I'm sorry, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. I'm going to stop there, and I think you see the point here about our tongue. As a figure of speech, obviously, the words that come out of our mouth can really be destructive or it can be constructive. It really makes all the difference in the world. So we want to just be really sharp in what we say. Let me share a little bit more. Jan shares on page 80, the latter part of this page. She goes on to say, there is an inherent power in words. With words, the heavens and earth were created. The power of speech is what differentiates men from animals. With words, whole nations have been deceived and brought under the control of certain small groups of people. An example of this is how the entire population of Russia was controlled by at first the czars and then the communists. With words we can bless and praise our God and Father. Ephesians goes on to exhort us to not be deceived into using empty words, but to walk in the light. So this thing of what we say and the words that come out of our mouth really makes a difference. It really does. There's a wonderful verse, Ecclesiastes 7:20. I'll share this with you, Ecclesiastes 7:20 through 22. For there is not a man, not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You know, in other words, sometimes maybe we're at work and our boss tells us to do something and we're not too excited about it, but you know, we have a nice little smile and say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. But the words we're thinking in our mind is, that dumb head, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And those kind of words, they come out. We all succumb to words like that. We've all responded in some form or fashion to these kind of situations. So as believers, we have a great resource within us, that gift of Holy Spirit, Christ in us. And we have the great resource, obviously, of God's Word. And so these are the words we want to have as our source as we speak, as we move about in our life, that the source of our words is from the love of God, the Word of God, the power of God through the Holy Spirit that is in us. You know, one of the key points I want you to see here is that when you use the Word of God with believing, you bring about great results. Well, in looking at this subject, let's break it down a little bit. To who do we communicate with? All right, we speak words. So who do we speak words to? Who do we share them with? Well, I think the first person we've got to think about when it comes to speaking words is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's first look at the source of words, you. How do we build good communication skills? You know, we're the first person we talk to. We talk to ourselves. What are we saying to ourselves? Are we down on ourselves? Do we belittle ourselves because of problems that maybe arise? Or are we encouraging ourselves? Are we taking the Word of God and having that communicate to our heart? So let me read another paragraph here from Jan's book. The first thing to do in order to live circumspectly is to fill our minds with the truth of the words of God. This involves listening, reading, and then keeping those verses and teaching in our thoughts. Dwell and meditate on the Word of God, and that is what you will speak. The second thing to do is to be diligent to keep your heart pure. This means asking for forgiveness for times of evil speaking, for even times when we were not aware of what we were speaking. It means forgiving others for words that they have spoken against us, and for breaking the power of negative words that have been sent our way, as well as ones we have sent. Ponder the path of thy feet, Proverbs 4:26 says. Means to consider the areas of our lives that need correction. Is there any envy in my heart? Have I or am I causing division of any kind? This requires a diligent seeking to root out areas in our lives that may not be pleasant to deal with. And really, that's the end of what she says, but we really got to consider our lives and what we say and how we say it and how we communicate. And first of all, obviously, we need to look, what do we say to ourselves? So Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there, please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, and this verse 19, I want to emphasize this in light of how we speak to ourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's interesting when you look at the detail of this verse, speaking to yourselves. The Greek word there, I'm not going to even try to pronounce it, is used many, many hundreds of times, and it's translated, for the most part, himself or yourself. Now, some of your translations might have others, speaking to others in psalms and hymns.
One another.
To one another? Okay. So, I believe, with the Greek understanding here, that this really refers to yourself, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, we just need to bless ourselves. We don't need to get down on ourselves and put ourselves down if we make a mistake or whatever. We just got to lift ourselves back up and sing. I think it's so great to sing these great songs. Have a melody in your heart that's godly, and that's a blessing. And it's a melody that is a blessing to God as well. Well, verse 20 goes on to say, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of God. This thing of giving thanks, boy, if we could have that kind of attitude reflected in our communications, that we're thankful, I think it would really, really bless us a lot. Well, we speak to ourselves, but also, obviously, we speak to others. And who else do we speak to?
God.
Well, yes, I hope we talk to him for sure, right? We talk to our Heavenly Father. So are we talking to him? What are we saying to our Heavenly Father? And also, of course, others that are in the body of Christ, our fellow believers, and other people that are in the world that we are witnessing to and really would love to see get born again. So let's take a look at these different groups here a little bit. And what do you think might be a good way to talk to your Heavenly Father? Any suggestions?
Speak in tongues.
Speak in tongues. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, when you speak in tongues, you speak unto God, not unto men, right?
Amen.
So, boy, speaking in tongues, what a great way to communicate to your Father. You know, he does know English. Obviously, he knows the tongue, and he knows every other language as well. And that's great that we talk with him and communicate with him, and we should be. We shouldn't let a day go by unless we're talking with him. And speaking in tongues is a wonderful way to get the conversation started. Really, just first thing in the morning, grab your mind, start speaking in tongues. Say hello to your Father and just start that day that way. Because he'll encourage you and he'll be talking to you as well. Well, in light of some of the other folks in the body of Christ, let's take a look at Philippians, if you would. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 11. And here it says, and I'm using the King James, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the greatest communication any and every man can give. You know, woman, child, anybody and everybody, is that they confess the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation or demonstrate that salvation with fear, reverence, and trembling. What a great verse there, that we just, regardless of where we're at and who we're with, we just want to live the great salvation reality that we have, that Christ in us. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Man, what a lifestyle to communicate with him, to know that he's talking with you, and his desire is to work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, so many times we get all upset. Something is said of us or something is given to us to do and we might not like it and we get all upset. Well, many times we just need to hold our tongue and push through it and know that God will work things out for us. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, this world just tries to put us down. It is crooked. It is perverse. But we're blameless. We're harmless. We're sons of God. You can't put anything down upon us Because we shine as lights. Now, how do we shine as lights in this world? Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. See, this is the great communication that we can have in our lifestyle, is holding forth the word of life. Because that makes all the difference in the world. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Wow. These are power words, power of great words, God's word. We want to touch other people with words of power, and that's God's word. Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. How do we touch people with godly living words? And we want to reach out to everybody and make it available for them to know our loving Heavenly Father. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of what?
Faith,
believing. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, we just don't think evil. We just have so much, we're spending so much time in the Word, speaking in tongues, talking to our Father. We just don't think evil. We don't, that doesn't come up in our conversation. You know, we have that true heart with a full assurance because we do believe God's Word. And that's so important for us to have that element in our conversation is believing. Our talking, our communication needs to be mixed with believing so that it will have great effect. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, our believing. This word profession in the King James, probably better translated confession. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. You see, the more we know of God's word and we put it on, we live it, we believe it, and then we confess it, and we don't waver on it. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I love this verse. To me, it's an oxymoron. Let us consider one another to provoke. Usually if you're provoking someone, you're getting them to do something negative. But we want to provoke the believers and other people unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know, how do you exhort somebody? You communicate, you talk loving words. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's coming back. He's coming back. Wow. The word mixed with believing gets miraculous results. And that's what we want to do. Speak with believing in our hearts, in the words that we say. Hebrews 10:35, 10 more verses down. 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You see, we build the word, the living word, God's word in our life, and we use confidence. We speak out with great confidence, and we see the great results. For you have need of patience or endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yeah, we just got to have that endurance. Sometimes we don't get the results that we so desire right away. But we have that patience, we have that endurance, and we know that God will, in the end, take care of us. Well, to close out, I'd like to read another segment from Jan's article here in her book, on page 84 here. And she says, the best source of all words is the Spirit. Spiritual words, such as those from the Word of God, bring life. This is very easy to see when we are standing in the pulpit preaching the gospel or when witnessing to people. But what about after the service is over or after the time of fellowship? What do we speak when we are at home with our families? What do we speak in our workplaces about our employers? That's a good question, huh? Well, you see, my point in sharing this is the words we speak really declare who we are. And what we say and confess identifies us. Remember, getting believing results depends on positive confession of God's word. And finally, Jan says here in this wonderful article, let us seek to use the words we speak to bring health and life and to be spiritual words of truth in all our relationships. Let us speak the words of life and endeavor to root out the impurities in our hearts. Let us walk in love, in light, and circumspectly. Let us use our words to pray for others and to give thanks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word and just for your presence in our life via the Spirit. And Father, we just continue to come to you and ask you for help, for your working mightily within us. And we're grateful that we can be your children and that we can speak words with power because it's your word, it's your love, it's your Spirit that's behind it all. So thank you for this lifestyle we have, Father, living with you and talking with you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.